This is gross.
Oh, this is gross.
Oh, that's so gross.
Oh my God, that's gross.
Like, this is totally gross.
No, this is Jordan Gross.
Oh, Jordan Gross.
Oh, bless his heart. Jordan's not gross.
This is gross.
Hey, everybody, welcome to This is Gross, episode 7 with Captain Munnerlin. Hey, good news. I'm now on Twitter, so follow me at J2TheGross, and you will learn a moderate amount of information. So, Captain Munnerlin, and I recorded this one at Bank of America Stadium. I set up my studio in the Panthers studio and recorded the conversation during lunch break of minicamp. So, hope you enjoy it. I know I did. Peace. Welcome. We're on. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
This is kind of weird, the location we're at today.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think?
It's kind of weird. See, you got your little office in here
well,
and stuff, huh?
I've been here so long that I now know all parts of the stadium.
I've never been to this part, I don't think.
This is the studio.
Nah.
Yeah. We got the Panther logos flashing behind us. You see that? I had that brought. Even though this is only an audio recording, I thought it would be better if I got... Panther logos flashing behind just to really set the scene. Like, this
oh,
is
man,
sweet.
Come on, man.
What do you think?
Oh, yeah. It's sweet in here now. Is this where my rookie year we had to come in and do the.
Yes, when we pulled the prank on you.
Yeah.
At Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'm familiar with this room then.
We shocked you.
No, actually, y'all had us reading a little thing.
You
had the guy asking us for
money. Yeah. That's always fun every year.
Oh, yeah.
You're hurt right now, right?
Yes.
The tummy pull.
Man, here y'all go with this. Yeah, Coach Rivera, he told the media that I hurt my tummy. Yeah. And I had to tell him, I'm not a kid. I'm a grown man.
You have an ab strain.
Yes, I have
an
ab strain.
Which, in your defense, is a legitimate injury.
Yes, it's legitimate.
It hurts.
It hurts.
It's like a low back. Like, you can't do anything without moving your ab or your, you know. But when you say it's a tummy strain, that does not do well in the locker room.
Oh no! Not even in the media. You know, you know, some people took that and ran with it. You know, Joe, who writes for the Charlotte Observer, he put that out, and people was on Twitter. They was like, "You hurt your tummy?" I was like, "Man." I was like, I got a bone to pick with Coach Rivera.
Tell me.
So I had to go to him and tell him, hey, you got to fix that up for me.
What'd he say?
Yeah, he told the media, he apologized for it. He said he actually hurt his, you know, ab muscle. So.
But see, that's how it works. No one's going to go back out now and say,
yeah.
Oh, my mistake. It was an ab strain. But tummy's now out there forever.
Yeah, now they think that, you know, I'm out because I have a tummy ache or something.
Well, and it has to happen in the spring when there's, like, nothing else to report, right?
Yes.
Like, if that had been in season, they would have been like, he's out. Okay, but in the off season, tummy.
Yeah, it's my tummy.
So you said you heard about it on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
So I just started Twitter. At J2TheGross.
Oh, I seen it.
And I've done like 20 tweets so far. I'm pretty involved. But one of the guys I follow happens to be Cap Munnerlin. And I got a question. Like, why do you tweet if we have to be here for physicals and you're running late? Why'd you tweet like I missed my flight?
I just had to let everybody know I missed my flight.
I was like, I don't think he's going to make it. You still made it,
yeah,
right?
I made it.
But you were going to be late. So I was like, hey, guys, Cap missed his flight.
See,
like,
look, instead of having have to call everybody or call Coach Rivera.
You just tweet it.
Just tweet
just
it.
Just assume everyone's following
somebody
you.
Somebody's going to report
But see,
it.
I don't know. Like, maybe I'm a little too personal because I would have been so nervous. Hopefully I can just sneak by here. Nobody will notice I'm
yeah,
late.
Yeah, I was kind of nervous, but at the same time, I know – they said 8 o'clock, but they never said until.
No, it was open-ended.
Yeah, it was open. So if they would have said 8 o'clock to 12, I'd have been, oh, man, I would have been panicking. And I would have called RV.
But you went down to Miami for the game.
Yes.
Game 2 of the NBA Finals.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have good seats?
Oh, man, perfect seats. John Beeson actually hooked me up with somebody that gave me perfect seats. Yeah.
What was the environment like? It was just sweet.
It was crazy. You know, my first NBA game, first NBA Finals game, and you know, my favorite team. You know, everybody say that I'm just following LeBron James, and it's true. I am a LeBron James
fan,
so wherever you go, I'm there.
Did you get his autograph?
No, I don't want his autograph.
LeBron, it's me, Captain, from the Panthers.
Nah.
Well, see, TD, Thomas Davis used to have his seats at the Bobcats, like right behind the scores booth, and yeah. I always kill him saying that he tried to get everybody's autograph. But no.
If it was LeBron, I – I'm pretty sure Thomas probably tried to get his autograph before.
Well, and I saw on Twitter that you woke up from a six-hour nap at midnight.
Oh, come on, Gross. You hold on.
Well, I saw it.
You need to be asleep, man. You got to get ready for practice.
No, in the morning I saw when I woke up. And so it says like, okay, so it says 6 hours ago, woke up from a six-hour nap, and I got up like at 5:45. So I was like, oh, my gosh, he slept till midnight.
Yeah,
so then what'd you do?
I was tired. I actually stayed up, watched a couple shows, and I went back to sleep by 2 o'clock.
But you see, you're still on that, like, young guy schedule where you can just roll with, like, Jonathan Stewart will tell me he'll take, like, a three-hour nap after practice and then eat dinner and then go right back to bed and sleep all night. Can you do that?
No, I can't do that.
I don't know how that – that's, like, almost on the verge of, like, a sleeping problem.
Yeah. After practice, I try to go home and take a nap, probably, like, an hour or so. But if I take a three-hour nap, I'm going to wake up, and I might be up to like 3:30 in the morning.
And then you're messed up the next day.
Yes, yeah, you're tired in meetings.
And that's what I tell young guys when they come in. It's like, listen, buddy, I know you're going to be tired when you go home, but if you crush a nap during the season at like 6 o'clock, then you're going to be up till 3, then you're going to be back up at 6, and then it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah,
you can never get out of it.
And you're going to be falling asleep in meetings.
Right.
And need some coffee or something.
Right, and then you're going to be sleeping again the next evening when you get home.
Yeah.
Now, that's why you got to have it's easier just to have kids. No matter what, just be more responsible and just go have children with someone. So you live by me.
Yes.
Down in the south part of town.
Yeah.
And there's a story that one day.
Oh, man.
Why don't you just take it from here? When you were driving home.
I hit a deer.
Did you hit it or did it hit you? What happened?
He hit me. I didn't hit him.
So you're driving down the road at a safe speed, right?
Broad daylight. Let's put that out there.
No, it was day?
Daylight.
I thought it was night.
No.
Because at night, they're all over the place, and you got to slow down. You see their eyes glowing, and they're like, what are you going to do? And they come out at you?
2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Were you paying attention to the road?
Yeah. He just came out the bush out of nowhere.
And sideswiped you?
Sideswiped me.
Which side? Driver's side or passenger?
Passenger.
So what'd you do? Oh, shoot.
I was like, oh, my. So I stopped, and the car behind me stopped. And
what'd the deer do?
I hit him. He wiggled his tail and kept going.
No, it didn't.
Yes. He just kept going on me.
What happened to your car?
Oh, it was tore up. It was messed up bad.
Like all dented in?
Yes. And I was scared to go wash it because it had a little blood on it.
Jeez.
Just because the insurance company, I didn't think they was going to believe me because it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
But so, I think they believe you because a human isn't going to run into the side of your car.
That's what I was trying to tell them. And the lady was like, when I called the insurance company, she was like, well, don't wash your car. You know, maybe some hair on it.
That's kind of creepy, though.
Yeah, so I had to go. And it was a holiday coming up. So I had to wait. So that Monday, they didn't come out.
No.
It happened on a Friday. That Monday, they didn't come out. That Tuesday, they didn't come out. They didn't come out to my house till that Thursday. So my car just sitting there.
With blood on it.
Deer blood and hair on it the whole time. And I'm sitting there like, man.
That was it in your Camaro?
In my Camaro.
And you think a deer would have seen that thing coming.
That yellow bright car. Right. Yeah, I was so mad at him. I'm still looking for him, Gross.
You remember when you first got that car and you pulled up, and it's a nice car. It's sweet. It is. With like the yellow and black rims.
Yeah.
It looks good. And you pulled up, and that was when Travell Wharton was still here, one of your guys from your alma mater, South Carolina. And you pulled up, and he goes, and you stepped out, look at my car, I'm all sweet, and he goes, oh, taxi!
I remember that day, man. Y'all give me a hard time.
You were crushed.
Time. Yeah, I was.
And here you were thinking you were driving Bumblebee.
Yeah, you know, little kids, they're like, Bumblebee.
No, and Travell says it's a taxi.
You know, my teammate, they say it's a taxi. They're like, Captain, can I get a ride home? I was like, man, no taxi.
What's your fare to the airport?
Free of charge.
is an extra passenger more money? It had to have been a deer insurance because the only way you could hit a person is like if you were doing like a Fast and Furious like power slide, and I don't think you have those skills. So
nah, I ain't got those skills in that car.
So I don't really do any research for this because I don't think it's natural if I do because we're just talking here.
Yeah.
But I was like, the only thing I looked up is I Wikipedia'd you because I was like, I didn't even know where you're from. I assumed you were from South Carolina, but you're from Alabama.
Yeah, Mobile.
Mobile.
Yeah.
And you were born 3 months early? Or?
Yeah, 3 months early. I was a premature baby. Actually, so when y'all joking around with me a little bit, and I have little man syndrome, and I mess with my mom and, you know, some of my brothers about that all the time, I was like, well, if I would have stayed in a little longer, Mom, I'd probably be 6 foot.
But you might not have made it. But if you would have been bigger, you might not have been in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah. True story.
Because a 6 foot corner.
Yeah, I was 3 pounds when I was born.
And then the name, tell me the story about the name, because a lot of people think it's a nickname.
No, it's not. It's actually my real name. I was the last child, so my mama promised my grandmama that she could name the baby. And I'm the baby boy, and she named me Captain Munnerlin. My great-grandfather was named Captain Moore, so I'm named after him.
Well, that's cool.
So now I got a son who I scarred, so he's Captain Munnerlin Jr.
And is his measurables, like, is he going to be tiny like his dad, or is he, what do you think?
Actually, gross, he almost taller than me already.
No, we always have a, we got a thing going with my son, Teddy.
Yeah.
We had a bet, was it 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
That he was taller than your belly button.
Yeah.
And he was five.
Yeah.
And you said no. And I said, we measured it when South Carolina played Eastern Carolina
here. Yeah, at the stadium.
And he just made it.
Yes.
It was five.
At 5 years old, he was at my belly button. But everybody ain't able, gross. Everybody ain't able.
No. But, no, it's so funny, man, because we give you a hard time. And I always tell guys, like, if they come, anybody that comes in the locker room, like, you've got to have the thickest skin.
Yes.
And I would also say, though, there's a direct correlation between, this is like the way that us macho guys show, like, our affection to one another. Whoever we tease the most is, like, one of the favorite guys.
Yeah.
Would you say that? So,
yeah.
Like, there's a circle. Like, me, Khalil, Hangartner, you, Thomas Davis, Charles Johnson. Like, I can't say anything nice to any of those people. It all has to be as rude as possible.
Yeah, got to.
Because
got
you
to.
Know it's coming right back at you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and that's what I love about the locker room. I always think about when I'm done, man, I'm going to miss so much, because you go out in, like, a normal workplace, and I couldn't just tease someone about being ugly.
No.
That's super rude.
Yeah.
But if it's your friend in the locker room, it's like they're smiling and like, oh, I'm ugly. Well, you're this or you're that, man. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
It is. But so I was reading about your bio a little bit, man. You're from, like, the rough part, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I grew up rough. It was rough, man. You know, I'm from the projects. Situation was kind of difficult, man. My brother stayed in and out of jail. My dad was murdered when I was 6 years old. And
Whoa.
Yeah, man. And those guys, man, my brother, they couldn't seem like to get their life right, man. And I had one brother go to prison when I was in the second grade, and he been in prison ever since then. And I go see him every time I get. But my other brother, you know, he changed his life. He's a minister now.
Is he really?
Yeah, he found God, and he's been a minister since I was in the ninth grade, man, and he's married. He married a doctor, and, you know, they're doing pretty good for themselves. And my mom is crazy, man. My mom's best friend, grandmother, died, and my mom went to the funeral, and I was in, like, the first grade or so, and she got saved at a funeral.
No way.
And when my mom got saved at the funeral, the whole family did a 360, man, and everybody changed.
Jeez.
My brother, he changed his life. My sister changed his life, her life, and it took off from there, man. Like, my mom, now she's a minister, and it just changed the whole family. And I always say, if it wasn't for my mom changing her life, it always started with the parents, and she changed their life, and, you know, to give us a better life.
Well, so you being, like, that youngest boy might have been a blessing, because some of that mess was getting run out by the time you were old enough to maybe pay attention to what was going on.
Yeah, my mom, she wouldn't let me do nothing growing up, gross. I was one
really?
Of those. I was one of those guys that had to be in before the street lights was on.
Yeah,
but when my brother was growing up, you know, they always had, me and her used to always, you know, kind of argue about that. I was like, Mom, you should let them, you know, stay out to this time, this time. She was like, well, you're not them.
She learned yeah, though, that maybe learned. It was different.
Yeah, she learned it different. And
not Captain. Not my little Captain.
Yeah, and then
he's going to be in the NFL someday. Well, that, so you go and talk to kids a lot, I know, and you do, like, your captain's crew and all that stuff, right? So you got definitely a good message. See, sometimes when I go talk to kids, my story's like, I was from, like, a good enough middle-class family, like, small-town Idaho, and, like, I worked hard, and I got a shot at Utah, and it's like, so I go talk to some kids, they're like, well, boo-hoo, you know what I mean? And, like, I got drafted in the first round, so, like, I feel like I worked hard, but I don't have, like, this great story, so, man, when I go talk to some kids, like, especially if I go, like a rough part of town or something, I need to bring you along, because, that's a much better story.
Yeah, I love talking to the kids about it, man, just how, you know, things can change in your life if you just let go and let God, man. And that's what I did.
No,
and
that's awesome.
And
that's awesome.
Thanks to my mom, man. And
what'd she think of all your tattoos? Because you got, like, as many tattoos as anybody.
Yeah, you want to believe the real story on
it? Yeah.
I hid all my tattoos until my junior year in college.
No, you did.
She did
sleeves all the time?
Yeah, I wore sleeves all the time around my mom. She didn't know, because, you know, her being a minister in the church and stuff. And, you know, when I got my legs tattooed.
Well, that's not honest.
I know.
Of you?
I know. I was scared.
So
I didn't know what she was going to do. And my sister, she actually said, Mom, you need to tell Captain to stop getting all these tattoos.
No.
And I was in,
she blew it?
Yes.
Well, but it's funny, because you were, like, all SEC, corner, shut down man, but you're scared of your mom.
Scared
fight it
of
out
my mom.
Your
by my tattoos. I was so scared. And when my sister told on me, I was sitting there like, oh, so I had to take off my shirt and, you know, show her everyone tattooed.
She, like, lined you up and said, let me see them
Let me see all
Well,
of
good
them.
Thing you didn't get any, like, questionable areas or something. Just, I mean, that would have been awkward.
Yeah, I know. And the first one I showed her, I got her picture on my arm.
There you go.
I said, Mom, look, this it's is you, for it's you.
Yeah. But I also got me as a high schooler running with the ball, and I got this and that.
She was like, so how long have you had them? And I told her, and she was like, oh, Captain, you got to stop. I told her it's an addiction, and I keep going back and back and
it's
back.
It's not that bad, honestly. I don't think it's that bad. I don't have any. And I see, I don't, because I think, like, not having a tat is, like, the new having a tattoo. Because, like, everybody has tattoos. Yeah, so it's not, like, ooh, look at that. Yeah, he's got some pure skin.
Yeah, I met a guy who went and got all his taken off, and he said it hurt, and I was like, well, I'm just going to keep all my eyes.
I almost got one in college, though. Are you ready for this?
Yes, I'm ready. There, what you there almost was got gross.
Phase in my life where I thought, like Nordic gods were so sweet. So, and I think it's Nord. I almost got a Thor, like a big Thor with like a hammer, like riding a cloud with lightning on my arm. How terrible would that be now?
Gross. If you would have got that.
I would have had to get it removed because I never would have survived. Going back to teasing each other. You
would have made it in this locker room with that tattoo.
So that's a story for anybody listening. That's if you're under the age of 21, do not get a tattoo because it's probably going to be silly when you get older.
Yes, and I agree with that.
Thank God I don't have Thor on my arm.
You see what I had to go through in the locker room with Hand Gardner?
Right.
He's talking about I got Cam Newton on my back.
You do have Cam.
No, this
I wasn't going to bring it up, but you just brought it up. You have a picture of a big swole dude with number one in a sweet helmet running with the ball. It's Cam Newton.
No.
And it's right on your back. No. And when we drafted him, you went and got it.
No. Come on, Gross. Don't put that room out there. It's me at the University of South Carolina where I was number one.
Oh, jeez. I'm Square, checking the stats.
He promised. He's like, oh, man, that's Cam Newton because he got the Under Armour symbol and all that. I'm like, man, it's me in college.
All right. So so it's you on your back and – you were named after your grandfather, mm-hmm. and you do not have a tummy injury. That's what we've learned today.
No, I don't have a tummy injury.
All right. Well, thanks for joining me. Let's go get some lunch.
All right. Thanks.
See you, buddy.
All right.
That wasn't so gross.
No, that was pretty gross.
I've heard grosser. Is it grosser or more gross?
That was gross.